Okay, Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to read tonight verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Can't see the Lord without the righteousness of Christ. Impossible. Okay? You can try until the cows come home, and if they come home, you're still not going in your own righteousness. You go through the righteousness of Christ. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us tonight as we study this important topic, that you would give us discernment from your word. I pray that you would empty us of ourselves, speaker and listener alike, and fill us with your spirit. And may we listen to you as we say, as I just prayed, the Holy Spirit of God through the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. The story is told of a village called in Wales called Aberfan, Wales, or it might be Aberfan, Wales, A-B-E-R-F-A-N. And a great disaster took place there on the morning of October 21, 1966. And there was a young man who was 8 years of age at the time, and he tells about remembering his math teacher beginning to teach when all of a sudden a rumbling was heard in the distance. It's the last thing he remembers, and he woke up with his desk pinned to his chest, stuff all around him. His classmate was right here. One of his classmates was right here, and she was deceased. She was dead. For an hour and a half, Jeff, age 8, would struggle to breathe. Finally, he would be rescued from the rubble. One of 10 survivors only in this debris. On that day, 144 people were killed, and 116 of them were students at a junior school. Some investigators that were commissioned to study this tragedy said this, quote, "It could and should have been prevented." What caused this terrible tragedy, you might ask? Well, 100 years before that, so go back to 1866. 100 years before that, up above this school, they began to collect coal waste. Coal waste. How little did they know what that little pile of coal waste would develop into? It would eventually become a mountain. They kept adding to it and adding to it and adding to it for 100 years. 3 years before this tragedy, they warned the coal mining company that if you don't do something about this pile, with the rains that we get here in the wintertime and the dirt that is below it, there's going to be a tragedy, and they were ignored. Isn't it sad when we get a warning and we ignore it? Kind of a sobering thought, but you know, in a practical sense as well, you kind of have those warning lights on your car for a reason, right? Fuel light comes on, it's kind of like, you know, hey, I want to get some fuel. No, I can keep going. Oil pressure light, whatever. We have all through the Word of God, we have warnings. I don't want to ignore them, do you? Well, they ignored him. A tragedy that could and should have been avoided. Warnings were given and ignored. And the cost was catastrophic. Tonight, we discuss a very dangerous and deadly influence that threatens believers. It threatens individuals, it threatens churches, it threatens families, it threatens relationships. It is a destroyer. It is a destroyer of people. It is a destroyer of relationships. And I know that this is kind of a current event, but if we compared it to some kind of a disease, we would compare it to the worst of its kind. Maybe the worst cancer possible. Stage four. It doesn't start out as stage four, does it? That's when we find out about it sometimes. It would be known as a silent killer because it often lodges itself, it often attaches itself into the life of the believer, and its symptoms do not show up until it's already metastasized. By the time those symptoms come to the surface, it's already critical. It lowers the spiritual immune system. It opens the door in your life and my life to many other sins. You're talking about the powerful, disabling sin of bitterness. It starts off small, just like the pile of coal. But if we ignore it, it will be a mountain of destruction. You notice what the writer of Hebrews says, many, many will be defiled. Many. The root of bitterness will result in an overwhelming amount of destructive fruit. You know, I read that story and I thought, 100 years, that means more than likely the first person that put a scoop down was dead already when the tragedy happened. And if you liken that to bitterness, many times bitterness, if it's not dealt with, it not only is affecting that individual, but it might be affecting somebody that individual loves 100 years later. Quite possibly. In other words, I wrote down in my notes, it could be bringing fruit over several lifetimes. The Strong's Concordance points to bitterness as being especially poisonous, especially poisonous. In most, if not all cases, bitterness can be traced back to an event or series of events when someone was hurt or offended. Now, sometimes they're real. Real things that happen to people's lives that they were hurt and they were offended. But you know, I will have to say this, sometimes they are also imagined. They never really happened exactly like it's perceived to have happened in the mind of the individual. It's easy to perceive something that is really not even there. And if we hold on to it long enough, it can become, as we say, the gospel truth. But when all actuality, it's imagination. Now, I will say, though, that many times real things come into your life and come into my life, whether it be at home, at church, at work, or other relationships. But here's the thing. Bitterness is always past tense. In other words, it's always thinking about something in the past. Let me give you several things maybe to jot down. Let the Holy Spirit help us tonight with this area. Number one, Satan uses bitterness as a tool of destruction. Go with me to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And can I just encourage you tonight that this is maybe just God's way of warning us. Heed the warning. 3 years before, they were given a warning. Hey, do something about that pile of coal stuff. Ah, too much money. Lost a lot of lives. Lost a lot of lives, didn't it? James chapter 3, verse 14. God's word says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But if ye have bitter envying, back in Hebrews it said, we're to look diligently. Look diligently. I wrote this down. We must be on high alert. And remember, a root is small. But who knows how much fruit will come from the root? That's like saying we can pick our sin, but we can't pick our consequences. And that's true. You can choose your sin, and I can choose my sin, but we have no idea where it's going to lead to. I can handle this offense. No, you can't. That's a root. A legitimate offense can come into your life and my life, and you know what we can do? We can dig it out right then. Right there. We can let the Holy Spirit of God, and we're going to talk about this, get the spade out or whatever out and scoop that root out and don't let it take any more effect in our heart as possible. No, don't think we can deal with the offense. There's a biblical way to deal with it. Turn to Ephesians 4, please. Ephesians 4. Satan uses bitterness as a tool of destruction. Ephesians 4, verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 31, let all bitterness, that word all there, right? Let all bitterness, look at the list, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. That's quite the list. And Paul says, let all of it be put away from you. With all malice. Bitterness can creep its way into a relationship and can creep its way into a marriage. It can creep its way into the church. Colossians 3, 18 and 19. Just a few pages over. Colossians 3, 18 and 19. Bitterness is a tool of the devil, friends. It's a tool of the devil. Let God's Spirit tonight help us. Let God's Spirit help us tonight. If there's any... And by the way, look diligently. I want you to look diligently in your heart tonight. There might be something, like I said, 10 years ago, I was over here, and you might think it's dealt with, but there's every once in a while, it pops up again. Let's look diligently. Look at, Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not what? Bitter against them. You know, we might look at our husband or our wife. We might think, well, they don't do it like this. They don't act this way like I want them to. Or this has happened and that has happened. And we need to be very, very careful that we don't let it take root. Satan uses bitterness as a tool of destruction. Bitterness, Mr. Andrew Lincoln said this, bitterness is a word which indicates the hard-heartedness that harbors resentment about the past. How about this? Bitterness would be eliminated if we let God's word be the standard. How's that so? Because anyone who's bitter, they are the standard. Think about it. Anyone that's bitter, they are the standard. In other words, they're determining if so-and-so, whatever. But if we let God's word be the standard, bitterness will be gone, just like that. You can't have bitterness in your heart and have God's word in your heart at the same time. There's not enough room for both. In other words, one of them is going to control us, right? That's not to say you can't read God's word and be bitter at the same time. You can, but what's controlling me? It's not going to be the word of God. It's going to be bitterness over this or over that or over whatever it may be. In other words, there was a day in someone's life, my life, maybe your life, may it never be this way, where a line was drawn in the sand. So that's, again, that's me determining. That's me being the standard. And if you cross that line, that's it. Look, it's not up to me to draw a line in the sand. It's up to me to let all bitterness be put away. It's through the power of the Spirit of God. I'm not saying it's up to me. I can't do it. I'm the one that wants to draw the line and say, don't cross that line or else. That's me setting the standard. I can't be that. I can't do that. No, I need God's word to be the standard. What is the weapon we can use against bitterness? Here it is, submission. If I'm willing to submit, bitterness is gone. If I'm willing to submit to this book, bitterness is gone. If I'm willing to submit to a spiritual, I say a spiritual, some pastor or someone where I'm getting counsel or whatever, even tonight listening to the Word of God, not from me or from whatever, but from God's Word, if you're willing to submit to this, bitterness goes away. Just like that. But because bitterness and pride are kind of like bosom buddies, causing mass destruction, it's very difficult for someone who has a tank full of bitterness to say, right, okay, I'll submit. Because pride won't let them. Pride won't let me. Ephesians 5:21, we read it a moment ago. Or did we read that one yet? Ephesians 5:21, look what it says there. It's in context of the relationship between the husband and the wife. You know what it says there? It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submit means to yield to give in, to follow. Well, may God help us tonight to recognize if there's any bitterness in our life, to repent of it. Number two, the destructive tool of bitterness always goes beyond ourselves. It goes beyond ourselves. In other words, it doesn't just destroy the container that it's kept in, although it does. Bitterness will eventually be seen by everyone around me. If I'm bitter or you're bitter, it's kind of like, excuse me, I'm not trying to be funny tonight, but there's always humor, I guess, in somewhere. It's kind of like the smell of garlic. That doesn't mean it's a bad smell, but it's identifiable. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like this weekend, they had some food after the service at the church there in Victoria, at Capital City Baptist Church. Somebody had made, I can't remember the name of it, but it's an Indian dish. And you know what spice I'm talking about. Curry is definitely identifiable. That's curry. Or, that's garlic. You know what? Just like that, it's, that's bitterness. Sometimes it's me, right? I'm not pointing at anyone. I'm just saying, bitterness will eventually seep through your pores, okay? That's how my wife always knows I've had garlic. She's like, man, it's seeping through your pores. What did you eat? You say, I can smell it. That's what bitterness does. It goes beyond self. That's why it said in Hebrews 12:15, many be defiled. Many be defiled. I looked up in my Faith Bible Institute book 5. I found this quote. Bitterness not only troubles you, it also defiles the lives of all those around you. The pile and mountain of coal sludge devastated many homes. Think about it. All those kids that went to school that morning, 1966, everything changed. And it had nothing to do with them. How many people tonight are affected by someone's bitterness that they had nothing to do with it? Think about it. Bitterness goes beyond self. So who is smelling the bitterness that had nothing to do with it? Again, that first contribution that was made to the coal pile, no one saw the mountain killing 144 people. They said that that pile was moving down the hill at 100 kilometers an hour, destroying everything in its path. That's kind of what happens when bitterness gets let loose. It just takes out everything in its path. Starts out small, eventually is out of control, causes us to do unimaginable things. Number three. Many are bitter today due to a problem with authority. Bitterness can be traced to an authority problem. Now, this is going to, I hope we can take this and we can really meditate on this next thought. Bitterness is actually anger directed at God. Think about it. Think about it for a minute. Anger directed at God. If I am bitter, I do not trust God. Do we believe God is sovereign? Yep, that means God's in control. That means God allows things to come into my life for His good and His glory. So if I'm bitter, really, you say, no, I'm bitter at, I can tell you who they are. Okay, well, that might be the person with skin on that you're bitter at tonight, but in all actuality, it goes a lot further than that. It goes directly to God. If I am bitter, God doesn't love me. If I am bitter, God is not in control. This is not an easy question to answer, but do we really believe that tonight that God has a reason for everything in my life? Everything, Pastor? Everything that's going on in the world, God has a reason for it? Let's look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Because remember, bitterness is always going back to the past. So whatever it is in the past that is just hard for us, and again, it could be a real event that happened in your life that wasn't right. Everybody has been wrong. It's going to happen again. I don't mean to sound fatalist tonight, but it's going to happen again. And you know what? I will wrong people. You will wrong people. It's going to happen. Hebrews 13, 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Notice verse 8. Jesus Christ, same yesterday and today and forever. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief that is unprofitable for you. I believe that all authority is placed in my life by God. Romans 13, 1-5 tells us that. This isn't a message about that. But see, what happens is it becomes very difficult when I am unwilling to accept correction or instruction. Bitterness seeks to justify the actions because someone was not what they were supposed to be. I can be this way. I must say this, that many times the bitterness that's in my life, and I'm speaking about myself right now, or the bitterness that's in your life is actually, it actually has more danger than what happened. The offense. Bitterness can have more poison than the offense. Number four, lastly, bitterness can be removed by repentance and prayer. Bitterness can be removed. Let's go to Romans 12, please. Romans 12. Romans 12, 16. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Okay, so what does that mean? Evil was done to me. I don't want evil to be done back to that person. Don't live like that. That's not for you and me to handle. We can't handle it either. Men have proven it. A lot more spiritual men than you or me or ladies have proved it. You cannot handle that. I wasn't made to handle that. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Don't hold on to something. That's not your job to get vengeance. Give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. And for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Actually, in the flesh, we try to fight fire with fire, right? I'm just gonna go back at it. Where biblically it says, no, don't overcome it that way. Overcome it with good. So how can bitterness be removed? Letter A, or number one under it. We turn whoever or whatever over to God. Every time that person comes up in your mind, I'm talking about legitimate hurts that have been done to us in the past. And it happens. Okay? I don't mean to keep emphasizing that, but it does. Some of them are imagined, but some of them are real. So when that comes up, this is what we need to do. We need to start immediately going right here to this verse. No, I'm not going to avenge. I'm not going to avenge. God, help me right now. You know the thoughts that are in my mind. You know what I'm starting to think about. You know where I'm starting to go 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. It's amazing how much bitterness will have people to be able to remember things that happened 30 and 40 years ago. Think about it. For what? What good does it do for me to dwell on something that happened 40 years ago? It doesn't do any good. I need to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of Christ. It's giving that situation over to God, giving that individual over to God, turning whoever it is, God, and they might not even be alive anymore. And I'm saying that I'm not trying to be unkind, but they may not be alive anymore, but yet something about what they did is still alive in you. Give it to the Lord. Stop in the middle of it and maybe pray and talk to the Lord and say, God, I need your help right now. Start praising his name. Start thanking him. Start rejoicing in the Lord. Start thanking him for whatever it is that would come to mind. In other words, have something in place that as soon as that thought comes into the mind, okay, that's it. I'm not going to avenge. I'm going to throw it down. There's no reason for children of God to be living in a state of perpetual bitterness. There's no reason. And I'm talking to me. I'm talking to everybody. Don't get me wrong. We submit. Okay, so we confess it and forsake it. We turn whoever or whatever over to God. That's Romans 12. We submit to God's plan. We submit to God's plan. Look at James 4. James 4. Again, remember, when the Bible is setting the standard, we can be victorious over bitterness or whatever. Tonight, bitterness. Small pile ends up in a big mountain. That's the theme tonight. Small pile, it's going to end up in a big mountain. James 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. But he giveth more grace. You know what you're going to need? You know what I'm going to need to have victory over bitterness? God's grace. How do we get more grace? Humble. I'm just going to hold on to this until, okay, forget it. That's a lost cause. You're not going to have any victory that way. But if I could humble myself before God, if I can say, God, I'm starting to have those thoughts again. I'm starting to think about this again. I'm giving him over to you. And God, please empty me of myself. I need your grace right now. God giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. There it is again. Submission. If the Bible is setting the standard, I repeat, if the Bible is setting the standard for whatever you're having a trouble with, you will overcome it. You will. Are you afraid of something tonight? Let the Bible be your standard. The Bible says to fret not. The Bible says to be careful for nothing. But if I'm the standard, I'm reading all the current events of every country in the world. Let me tell you right now, if that's all I'm doing, I'm going to be a mess. I'm going to be a basket case. Don't let media be the standard for your fear or lack thereof. Let God's word be the standard. Don't let whatever it is in the past be the standard for your freedom tonight. No, let God's word be the standard. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Can we resist the devil? Yes, we can. In this area of bitterness, I want to challenge you. Let's resist the devil in this area of bitterness and not let it come back. And as soon as it starts to come back, in the littlest form, that's it. Chop it up. It's done. Scoop it out. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil using bitterness and he will flee from you and it will flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. This is the formula for many things, but it's the formula for bitterness too. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. And on it goes. So we confess it and forsake it. We turn whoever over to God. We submit to God's plan. Number next, we forgive whoever for whatever. God, I need to forgive whoever for whatever. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one toward another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgiving one another. Now, keep going here. Forgiveness doesn't always mean we forget. The Bible says that God remembers our sins no more. I don't have that ability. So if you've forgiven someone, here's what it should look like. Number one, we stop using their wrongdoing against them. Stop using their wrongdoing against them. You've forgiven them. Move on. Number two, stop telling others about their wrongdoing. If I'm constantly telling someone about someone else's wrongdoing in my life, and yet I said I've forgiven them, sometimes we do talk to, again, pastors and spiritual leaders in our life, and we seek their counsel. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about gossip. Number three, stop dwelling on the wrongdoing. I've talked about that. Stop dwelling on the wrongdoing. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Seek the mind of Christ. We must reboot our mind with God's word in order that we might think on right things. Philippians 4:8. Maybe you ought to add to your prayer list. Maybe you ought to pray it every day. God, if there's any root of bitterness in me, please reveal it to me. I want to get it dealt with. It's not something to wait 100 years or 100 days to deal with. After the fact, I'm quite sure that coal mining company wished they would have listened to the warning. A small pile became a mountain of destruction. My encouragement to you tonight is this. Don't, if you sense it all, there's a bitter spirit or a bitter root in you. Don't delay. Don't delay. Seek God's help in destroying whatever bitterness might be in you. We can have victory. Don't let the past haunt your present. Don't let the past affect the future. And remember, bitterness doesn't just affect self. It affects everyone.